Chapter 12. Sacristan Apex. Starved of ammunition. Renewal. Weeks into the realignment process, Jaya was still struggling. She slid the last 5 meters down the ladder, tearing off her helmet and breathing in the crisp, hot metal tang of the hangar bay. Torolek, her sacristan Apex, was waiting for her.
"It's the pressure valves in the left knee's pneumatics," she said to the robed figure. "It's affecting the turning circle."
Torolek was tall and slender beneath his hooded robe, proud to wear the black and laurel green and rearing Pegasus of House Viridian. He was beribboned at all times by devotional parchments, often fluttering in the heat wash of engine exhaust as he attended to his sacred work. As Sacristan Apex, he was the house's foremost machine seer, and at 300 years of age, he had known and served Jaya her entire life. He'd refused to return to High Rock with the rest of the fleet, and Jaya had respected the wishes of her family's oldest retainer. Given the circumstances and how events had played out, she was doubly grateful for his presence.
"I have reattuned them twice now," the old man replied.
Around his words, the breath of the ventilation systems roared on. Air filtration gargoyles breathed in the forge scent and exhaled recycled air, dragon keen, doing little to diminish the sweltering heat.
"And I say again, Baroness, the flaw is with the merging. You are blaming consecrated metal and obedient mechanisms when all evidence points to a disconnect between Scion and Knight."
Two servitors walked forwards to remove her breastplate and pauldrons, but Jaya warned them back.
"I spent all of last night in meditative reflection," she argued. "I feel no such disconnect."
Torolek moved away, heading towards the idle Knight, giving Jaya little choice but to follow. The sacristan held up two bionic hands extending from the same elbow, placing twin palms on the unpainted Knight's armoured toe-plating.
"You resist its noble spirit. It resists yours. Two stubborn souls locked in discord."
Jaya pursed her lips. Only Torolek would be allowed to speak to her so.
"My spirit is at ease," she lied.
"Then I shan't argue with you, Baroness."
Torolek looked up at the towering war machine in all its bleak glory.
Where proud and bright house colours should show, only bare and scratched metal met the eye. Where war banners should hang, depicting the Knight's own deeds and the honourable service of its Scion pilot, there was nothing at all. Soon they would march to war in these cast-offs and jury-rigged exiles from still-living houses, and do battle for the first time without Viridian's pennants waving in the wind.
"I find you in a mood of rare charity, if you are unwilling to argue," said Jaya.
Torolek's amusement showed on his wizened features, sparkling in his eyes.
"You should reboard, Baroness. Perhaps the next exercise will work towards merging you with your new armour. We are scheduled for weapons trials."
"I have dry-fired that decrepit thing's guns 100 times.
"Indeed. Today, however, you are to be loaded for live fire."
Jaya stared at him. They had been waiting over a week for the anticipated shipment from House Mortan.
"We have ammunition."
"At long last, being ferried to us as we speak."
He paused, his amusement darkening.
"You will, of course, be expected to make an appropriate display of gratitude to House Crast for the sharing of sacred resources from their forges."
"Crast?"
Jaya's tone rang with disbelief.
"Those vainglorious..."
Torolek chided.
"Those generous and noble souls, you were about to say."
"But of course. What of their earlier refusal?"
"The sigillite is said to have leaned upon them in this matter."
Jaya watched as another gunmetal grey and badly dented Knight stalked past, shaking the hangar ground with its tread. The machine was in dire need of cleansing and re-oiling. The whining of protesting iron was torture on the ears. Torolek saw her wince.
"Perhaps you might easier win the suit's regard if you stopped referring to it as that decrepit thing. The others of our court seem to be adapting well.
Jaya had the grace to accept the rebuke.
Most are, yes.
Your resentment is understandable, Baroness, but I know you do not need me to caution you on the vice of ingratitude.
Again she nodded. At least they had suits. Even these unmarked and untended exiles were a treasure any knight house would consider a fortune in their own right. But to have fallen so far, so fast, to be relying on the scrapyard charity of indignant and indifferent houses. Jaya took a breath.
Summon me when the ammunition shipment arrives.
Torolek said nothing. He merely bowed. The throne rocked beneath her, its suspensers worn down through a gestalt of time, damage and poor maintenance. Jaya's spinal plate locked into a groove along the chair's backrest, the connection triggering a flare in the cockpit's red lights and kindling three more monitors. Her weighted boots crunched into their stirrup locks. Her gloved hands gripped the guidance levers that rose up from the throne's armrests. Torolek had ascended the gantry ladder after his mistress, and now crouched his emaciated form at the airlock door above her. He reached in with several bionic hands, locking buckles and inserting penetrative interface cables into the Baroness's helm. But the sacristan didn't linger beyond his murmured blessings. He bade her well and sealed her in with a ringing, echoing clang. Jaya watched the hangar through her vision feeds, waiting for the gantries to be pulled away. Three errants, unmarked and unbannered, were marching back to their boarding cradles for maintenance and re-blessing, and far more importantly, for rearming. One of them turned to her as it passed, with its ground-shaking tread, its hunched shoulders and faceplate grinding down in approximation of a brief half-bow. Jaya couldn't return the gesture, with her boarding gantry still locked in, but she reached for the vox plate to send an acknowledgement pulse back to the pilot. She didn't know who it was. Gone forever were the days of knowing each scion by the heraldry their knights wore and the banners they bore. Even the painted artistry of kill markings was absent. Shame burned fresh. House Viridian and Hyrok itself had died under her guardianship. And, with dark hilarity, her shame couldn't even be recorded in the familial archives, for they were ash, along with the world that had been Viridian's home for thousands of generations.
I'm becoming maudlin,
Jaya thought with a sigh.
Less than a month ago, I was expecting execution.
Torolek was right. Ingratitude was an impious vice. The cockpit's bleak redness flickered once, twice, then the light around her was suddenly pale yellow instead of oppressive scarlet.
Gantry cradle clear,
came Tolorek's voice across the vox. Jaya clenched the control levers and eased them forwards. The cockpit tilted forwards in sympathy, leaning with the motion. Jaya's throne stabilizers lagged a few seconds behind, but the heavy tilting and lurching as the knight began its stride was nothing more than a vague irritation to a scion who had lived her life in the saddle. And yet, everything was different. The machine didn't walk as her baronial lancer had walked. Its piston tendons compressed and extended with different air hisses and at different speeds. Its gait rattled and clanged and clanked in an entirely different chorus of sound. The throne reacted differently to her weight and movements. The knight's posture and rhythm required different compensational adjustment when moving at speed. The visual monitors were in different places, and slaved to feeds and target locks and aura scryers that operated on momentary circuit lags, or detuned if exerted a certain way. The cockpit even smelt different. Rather than the sacred incense of Hyrok's Illuva herbs, no amount of Torolek's consecrations could rid the cockpit of that scorched blood and burned metal scent lingering beneath the smell of old corrosion. Every one of Viridian's new knights had been acquired from wreck ships and unused war spoil from local loyal houses, and each one of them smelt exactly as one would expect a machine from such a fate to smell. Even so, it wasn't that she couldn't endure these changes, or that cataloguing them led to distraction. The truth was far blunter than anyone not of a noble knightly bloodline could ever easily grasp. After a lifetime of piloting her own machine, Jaya was living inside a body that wasn't her own. She was wearing someone else's skin. She walked the still unfamiliar knight through the hangar, swaying against the buckles of her throne with its graceless gait. Runic signifiers on her weapon monitors showed her ammunition by weight instead of exact numerals, estimating payloads. She felt her teeth clenching at the prickle along her skin, the blood rush of bearing lethal armament once more. For the first time since setting eyes upon this war machine, she felt the tremble of a connection. She could kill again. She could destroy. This was strength. This was power.
What was your name? She wondered, looking around the cockpit. Who were you before you were beaten, shamed, and left for dead?
She brought the knight around towards the hangar's rear, where the massed wreckage of tanks and troop transports was serving as obstacles to manoeuvre around or assault with arm-mounted melee weaponry. Recognising their baroness's approach, two other scions walked their machines back out of the way, giving her the field. And she swore in that moment that she felt the immense engine block housed in the armoured compartment behind her growl just a little louder. She glanced to the crackling monitor linked to her left arm's gun feed. Target locks refused to hold. Alignment chimes that should be ringing in clear, constant signals instead stuttered and hiccuped. How typical of this machine. How... No. No more excuses. She didn't care. She leaned forwards in the throne, riding the uncomfortable, shaking gait, and guided the war machine's left arm upwards. No trajectory calculations, no aiming, no hesitation. She raised the arm and fired. Stabilizers kicked in late, subjecting her to 2 seconds of teeth-clacking shivers. But Jaya scarcely noticed. Her grin was morbid with black laughter, as a stream of tracer fire roared forth and pulverized the wreckage of a loader transport, punching molten yellow holes in its scorched hull. By the time her heart had beat 6 times, the flyer was barely recognizable. In its place lay a steaming mangle of blighted metal. Jaya strode forwards, her clawed mechanical feet crushing thousands of spent shells into the deck. The sword that formed her right arm thundercracked into life, sheathed in an energy-spitting power field. A second peal of thunder rang out across the great hangar as she battered an annihilated wreckage aside with the swinging blade. Later, she would remember hearing cheers across the Vox. Later, she'd recall Torolek's pleased murmurs of benediction. Later, she'd rest well for the first time in months. The Knight Castigator overbalanced on the backswing, almost stumbling. Jaya slammed the opposing foot down, catching herself from falling, and immediately reared back up to full height. Another skull-rattling volley spat in a tracer stream from the over-under twin barrels of her primary cannon, stitching a trail across the hulls of 3 trashed rhinos. The blade fell again, swinging down in an impaling execution, a warrior finishing off a fallen foe. Jaya slammed a foot down on the shattered civilian transport beneath her, keeping it in place as she wrenched the sword free again. This time she didn't overbalance. Flakes and scraps of metal sizzled along the sword's edge as they dissolved in the power field's heat. The towering knight raised its blade high before an audience of menial hangar crews, servitor slaves and their sacristan overseers. Yet the gesture wasn't for them. In ragged mimicry, the active knights present each answered as best they could. Some raised blades or bullet-starved barrels of their own, others blared raw noise from their bullhorns, while those rendered unarmed and otherwise silent lowered their unpainted faceplates in respect. Sacristan Apex Torolek consulted the data slate in 2 of his 4 hands, allowing himself a thin smile at the sight of his baroness's cockpit feed. Perhaps this was going to work after all.